Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
In part two of this interview with Philadelphia Councilman David O., he'll continue exposing the problems with child protective services and the need for changes to be made in order to protect both parents and children. Make sure to check out part one for more background information as to how Councilman O. got involved in this issue. So how did your meeting go with the commissioner?
So when I went to the commissioner, basically I got the same thing. Very aggressively back.
So they're saying they're right, you're wrong, period.
Yes.
Just wow.
The DHS commissioner said they are right, they use gut feeling, that's what we teach people to do, this is how this works because it's better that things be reported than not reported. I said that's kind of like saying if you pull a fire alarm even though there's no fire,
right.
that works better to make the city safe.
Because there might be a fire somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. As long as you think there's a fire, pull the fire alarm, fire engine comes out, firefighters jump out, there's no fire, no harm, no foul, better to over-report than under-report. I said that does not make any sense.
Except it's not to do that.
Well, yeah, it's a violation of the law, and it's not sustainable. That means you are spending resources where you don't need to, and you're not spending resources where you do.
Exactly.
That is why you have over-reporting. You have abusive situations where you're removing children and going after parents who've done nothing wrong and not investigating cases where there is evidence of danger and abuse.
Exactly.
So this argument that we were having about how they do everything perfectly. So the problem is really this. They didn't say, you know what, let's work together and improve things. They were extremely defensive and said that they are doing nothing wrong, they're following the law, the law mandates this, there's nothing the city can do about it, you can't change the state law. I said, we're not trying to change the state law, we're trying to get you to comply with the state law. Because up until then, I thought the problem was with this hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm seeing it's a problem with the government, with
the Child Protective
Services, with the entire system, which is somehow interpreting that they can violate the standards of the law.
Yeah.
And let me say, you will not have an argument that the police can simply look at you and with a gut feeling arrest you, search you. Everybody knows they can't do that. They must have reasonable suspicion, probable cause. They know what it is. But the social workers with master's degrees, doctors with MDs, administrators with PhDs, they don't know what reasonable suspicion is.
Mm, that's true. Yeah, they're just going on a gut feeling. But what you're saying is, though is that this Pennsylvania state law is too intrusive, and that leads us to the fact that there's going to be a parental rights news conference and rally on September 24th.
Yes.
Of which you're going to be one of the speakers.
Yes.
And I'm assuming you're going to highlight why the state law needs to be changed during your remarks.
Sure. You know, I think the first thing is we need to make sure that government agencies and mandated reporters are following the state law. Right now, they're violating the state law. And somehow, the state and everybody else allows them to do it in, quote, the best interest of children.
Yeah.
That is no different than me just pulling people over that I suspect are criminals for the best interest of the public. It's a violation of the Constitution.
Yeah.
It's a violation of, innocent unless proved guilty. It's a violation of many things that are fundamental to our government, our democracy, and our Constitution.
Yeah. Wow.
So what happened is I told them that I'm going to have a hearing, and the response I got was that would be a political mistake, which is a very unusual response.
A political mistake for holding a hearing?
Yes.
Politicians did that all the time.
Yes. Well, that's more of a warning and a threat.
Yes.
You know, you're in election year, and we're going to, you do want to open that can of worms because, you know, there's a lot of consequences to challenging DHS. And I got that message loud and clear.
Yeah.
And what I said was, well, you know, we'll let the voters decide.
Yeah. So did you hold a hearing? Did you hold a hearing?
I did. So I held a hearing, and I brought in national experts who testified that Philadelphia is an outlier, that we are a rogue city and a rogue agency, that we remove children from their parents and families at a rate 3 times higher than New York City, 4 times higher than Chicago.
So Philadelphia is worse than the rest of Pennsylvania when it comes to...
It is the worst city among big cities in the nation.
Oh, wow.
So the next thing they said is the best way to improve things was, number one, to have open courtrooms. Because in Philadelphia, you can't see what's happening. Even if it's your child, you can't go in the courtroom.
You're kidding.
Because what happens in the courtroom, closed courtroom, you're sitting outside in a witness room. They come out and tell you, oh, this case has been continued. Your children, you know, will be continued in foster care. So you don't have a right to be in the courtroom. And nobody can see what's going on there. So open courtrooms is a very solid reform that they advocate. Second thing, the lawyers who represent you, they are paid like less than $500 to start with for the entire year of representing you. And it decreases the longer things go on.
Did you say it decreases?
Yes. So they have almost no money to represent you, and that includes the transportation, parking, all that. So, unfortunately, they don't have an incentive to look through these very expensive, complicated files and cases. Neither, I think, does the judge, and therefore, they rely on the DHS workers, the social workers, the child advocates, who come in and represent what is happening in the case. But the parent doesn't have an attorney. They may not be able to afford an attorney, and to really kind of go through the case with the kind of attention it needs.
Right.
And so the second thing is to make sure that the attorneys for the parents are adequately compensated.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about a fortune. We're just saying adequately compensated for their time. They're not going to make a lot of money doing this type of work, but don't make it something where they're incentivized not to even, you know, do this. So there were other recommendations as well, and then we had, of course, representatives from DHS. And listen, our whole point is that DHS is an important entity. The social workers do a fantastic job. We appreciate all the good work they do. However, the system must be reformed so that they follow the law properly. And secondly, there are bad actors in DHS. There are bad social workers, and they have to be retrained. They have to be removed if necessary so that they do not do harm to children.
Right.
And every time you remove a child from a parent, even a not very good parent, studies have shown that children removed from parents for the same reason that the great parents, that children removed do worse in every category than children who remain with the parents.
Oh, wow.
And every pediatric organization has stated that removing children from parents is traumatic in and of itself, even if it's for a week or 2 weeks or whatever, and can have long-lasting detrimental effects.
Yeah, I'm thinking of this four-year-old in Texas. He's been with his parents since June.
Well, there's a lot to that, and, you know, unfortunately, I have 100, well, in this case, all women, who have testified, many of them have testified, but who have voluntarily been videotaped by my office so that we could send it out, and who have provided evidence, and in many cases, they're what we call, or what is called, not-at-fault parents.
Right.
So I never heard of this term.
Mm-hmm.
Not-at-fault parents means a parent who has never been charged, accused, or alleged to have done anything wrong, abusive, neglectful, anything to harm or hurt their child.
Right.
Yet the child has been removed from their custody, placed in foster care, and eventually put into permanent custody, adoption someplace else. So it's very difficult to understand. And, and let me say this. It's because this tale of two cities is not a tale of two different locations, like a rich part of town and a poor part of town. It's a tale of how a person will walk into a hospital or walk into a school, or a child will be investigated or whatever, and if your parents are well off, well educated, there's not even a question. But the same incident with poor parents, uneducated parents, oftentimes leads to an investigation. And even if what they were investigating turns out to be unfounded, they come across other issues like the, I don't see winter coats in summer.
Oh.
Where are your winter coats? Oh, they're in storage. Oh, I don't see them. I don't see books for the child. Oh, your child has a cell phone. That's not good. Or your child doesn't have a cell phone. That's not good.
So
whatever it is.
It's all at the whim. It's at the whim of the social worker.
Yes, unfortunately. And the social workers don't agree. And so there's no recording. By the way, in Pennsylvania, as you know, there is anonymous reporting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Anonymous to the extent that we don't even know who did it. Like, in other words, we have anonymous crime reporting. We don't know who reported it, but there is a code, a number,
mm-hmm.
so that you could find out that this person has reported 30 times
okay.
about the same person, and
yeah.
they were all unfounded.
Uh-huh.
So we should be able to track. Second of all, when they come to your home, they say there's an anonymous report of abuse, but they don't tell you what it is, what happened, what they're looking for. And once they've gotten into your door, they look for anything.
Yeah.
And that's another problem. So that's how it ends up, that when they come into your home with a allegation that somebody made an anonymous phone call about something, you have no idea what it is, that eventually 3 months later they could tell you that everything's been cleared, it's unfounded, but we're going to remove your children for this other reason, and then we'll let the judge deal with it.
So parents, I mean, they're at the whim, their entire household is at the whim, or basically under the control of DHS.
Sure, and in some cases, I would actually say in many cases, and that's a small percentage when you're talking about the numbers of investigations, but in many cases, the reasons are false.
Yeah.
For example, in one case, three daughters were removed. The reason was there are no doors on the bedroom.
No doors.
And no doors. And the girls are 17, 15, and 11, and they will say, not only did our stepfather not abuse us, but we have always had doors in our house.
Uh-huh.
And there are pictures and neighbors. Like, these are things that are easily refuted, yet because the parents and the witness could not get into the room for 6 months, the case continued and then took a different turn, and now the issue about whether the house has doors or doesn't have doors is no longer an issue in this case. And so that mother continues with daughters being put in foster care, running away, being sent to juvenile
right.
delinquency, even though they're dependent because there's no place to put them. So then they're put in with delinquent kids, and their grades go down, and they're depressed, and then now there's medication for one, which the parents have never approved of. All of this at the expense of the taxpayer.
Right. And the family, the children, the family, and like you mentioned earlier, the long-term effects of that.
Oh, okay. Sure. Yeah.
So, you know, there's Pennsylvania alone. There's a case in, I think it's Bartonsville, where a dentist office informed a mom that if she did not make a dental appointment for regular professional cleanings for her child, she could be charged with dental neglect.
Yes.
And the dentist cited Pennsylvania Act 31 on child abuse recognition and reporting.
So, unfortunately, what you are referring to and what I am talking about is the government agencies stepping in with the presumption that they will do better for the child
uh-huh.
than the parent, and allowing people like that dentist to report parents' decisions,
yeah.
maybe to go to another dentist or
yeah.
get a second opinion, or
mm-hmm.
maybe they don't have the money.
Yep.
I recently heard about a case where children were removed because when they came into the house, and actually the parents, you know, saw an ad about, you know, how DHS helps, and they invited into the house, like what services are available, and the person representing the agency saw, like, there was a bed with, like, I think the two children sleeping in one bed.
Uh-huh.
And instead of saying, hey, we could get you another bed, they removed the children from the home. Now, that's also illegal because poverty should not be punished with the removal of children.
No.
But it happens because someone says, well, I'm not determining it's abusive or neglectful. I'm just suspecting, and it is my job to remove the children and let the judge decide.
Wow.
And so this passing of the buck continuously, and then the judge not knowing what's going on except hearing it from the social workers, from the mandated reporters, and, you know, now there's a child advocate involved, and everybody wants to continue the case. And so the parent comes thinking that the judge is going to return the children once they hear the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
But the first thing that happens is they're told this case is being continued. Come back in 4 months.
Wow.
So this is a problem. I'm not saying it's a problem in every case, clearly. And DHS is needed, and we need social workers to save children and to prevent abuse and to prevent neglect. But this violation of the law, this violation of the Child Protective Services Act, this abuse of what is supposed to be an act to protect children, ends up harming children by removing them from their parents and causing great trauma.
It's frightening, for sure.
Sure.
I look forward to meeting you on the 24th of September at the news conference, which begins at 9:30.
Yes.
And are the check-in and orientations at 9:30, with the conference actually beginning at 10, and then that's going to follow with a rally at 12:30 to 2, rally after lunch. So, wow. I mean, the numerous stories you've just told, it's frightening, you know, as a parent.
Well, let me say I have worse stories that I haven't even brought up, but I have evidence. And this is why it is so problematic. I have evidence, and I have presented the evidence to the Attorney General's office, the District Attorney's office, the U.S. Attorney's office. I couldn't reach. Well, I talked to them, but I could not get a meeting. They don't have jurisdiction. But the problem is that I have two children, 5 and 10, who have said to a children's hospital that the 5-year-old was raped anally by the boyfriend of the mother repeatedly, and then DHS tried to return the children to that abuser, saying he was the father when in fact he was not, and ended up placing the two children with the abuser's girlfriend, saying that she is an aunt when she is not.
And
there's evidence that that is not the case, and so DHS shows up at the grandmother's home with uniformed police officers and take a third grandchild, and when the police lieutenant opens the paper, it's not a court order. It's just a piece of paper.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding. It's on videotape. See, this woman had video cameras in her home.
Okay.
Her son recorded this. Neighbors saw that. The police lieutenant has the paper. But
not a court
what order. Happened is there is no investigation of the rapist, the pedophile, because apparently when it was reported to the police, DHS then told the police that it's unfounded. So they never even investigated it.
So they're not investigating real, in this case, not investigating real abuse.
Yes.
They're ignoring that and putting the children in.
Yes, I have taken the medical reports and other evidence to the police myself. And yet there's no investigation. And part of it is because, as it's been explained to me, that if police show up investigating DHS social workers and files, the managing director or the mayor's office is getting a call from the DHS commissioner. The mayor's office then calls a police commissioner, and then the police commissioner pulls back the investigation because they all report to the mayor. Now, that's not an allegation. I don't know if that actually happens, but that was the explanation as to why it was difficult to investigate. My response is, anytime a crime is alleged, a police unit should go out and investigate. They don't have to do it in a damaging way, but they do have to go out because this is not a difficult thing to investigate.
For sure.
There's a 10-year-old, there's a 5-year-old, both articulate.
Right.
There is a report already given. There are doctors and nurses that were right there, social workers, police officers who heard what these children said. You can easily find out if this woman is related to them or not.
Oh, yeah.
If, you know, these are easy things to do, and you can find out if the social workers from DHS gave police a lieutenant and 6 and 7 uniformed officers a false statement, a false document that was not a court order, and what are the consequences to those crimes? Those are crimes.
For sure. I mean, but yeah, there are laws that are being ignored and laws that are being reinterpreted or going by their gut feeling.
Again, we get to the very beginning of the story. That is falsification of documents.
Yeah.
That itself is a crime.
Yeah.
And so what I learned is, through this experience, there are some, not all, not many, there are some people involved in Child Protective Services that routinely falsify records, falsify claims, produce false allegations, violate the law, just seemingly as a habit and without consequence.
Cover their tracks,
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. It's an area that needs great reform.
Yeah, for sure. We could go on even more. But I appreciate the time that you've taken to highlight some of these stories and to expose the danger to families, especially in Philadelphia, with it being the worst in the country, worst big city in the country as far as DHS abuse is frightening. But the rest of, you know, the rest of the state and the other, you know, the other 49 states in the country also have to be aware that things going on in those states also, many of those states anyway. So we look forward to meeting you on the 24th, and I'm sure you have some more stories, more reports about abuses and the dangers of losing parental rights during that news conference. So appreciate you taking the time to be with us with these stories. Okay, you take care.
All right, okay. Goodbye.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.